What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Hot Take, where we like to talk basketball. We're going to give you some hot takes, or what we think might be hot takes. But most of all, it's just our joy and love for the sport of basketball. Today, Nat is not with us. Nat is having a nice little vacation in the Philippines instead. We have someone very special to me, my significant other. This is Brain. Brain, hi, how are you?
Hi, everyone, and hi to my future self, because this is the show I like listening to when I'm doing work.
Ooh, an avid listener. So how does it feel to finally be on the podcast?
It's honestly a dream come true. I've been dreaming about this since, you know, I first heard about the show. And, you know, it's about time that you asked me to do this.
Okay. Well, something I'd like to do to start the show to kind of break the ice a little bit. I do this with Nanette quite a bit. Nanette is used to this. So sorry if you could just bear with me for a quick second. I just got to make sure that I have everything set up. Let me just change my background real quick. There we go.
That's an unfair advantage.
So my background is Jimmy Butler doing the timeout meme that he did against the Boston Celtics last year in the playoffs. You know, Nana's not here, so I can't put any like Jaime Jaquez things up or anything like that. So now that you're here, I get to do.
I would beg to differ that Al Horford did it better. He did it way better. He looked better.
Okay, tell the people who your team is. Sorry, I failed to do that. Who's your team?
My team is the Boston Celtics, my beloved team. I've loved them since I was 8 years old.
Okay, valid. So it's been a minute. You've been through some ups and downs, some heartbreak. Got really close. At least once, but that was before. Let's talk about now.
Okay.
What are you seeing from your team so far this year? What makes you think that this is the team that's going to bring it to the next level, that's going to win a championship this year?
Well, to be fair, I think that about my team every year, regardless of who we have, even when it was the Isaiah Thomas era, even when Tatum was that rookie in that year when Kyrie and everyone got injured. I still thought we had a chance. I feel like I'm just like you with Miami. You know, regardless of who they have, I feel like they're going to make it. And honestly, your team always does, which pisses me off because we always face each other. And what's different this year?
Sorry, just to be fair, I never think that my team's going to make it. Oh,
never mind. You're right. You're the opposite.
Yeah.
But somehow they always make it, which is annoying. Because you're always like, oh, they suck this year.
They kind of do.
You said that last year, right? And what, 2 years ago?
Yeah. We'll get to my team in a little bit. So back to the question. Tell us about your team this year. What do you like about your team?
I think our chemistry is just on the next level. I know we lost Marcus Smart, which breaks my heart. And then Robert Williams had to go, which again, he was a personal favorite. But with the addition of Kristaps, who is best friends with Jaylen Brown now, we also have Jrue Holiday, which I honestly did not expect to get. We always get leaks of who, you know, Brad Stevens is supposed to get, quote unquote. And I feel like it's never the people he ends up getting. But there were rumors that we were going to get Jrue Holiday. And so I didn't think we would. And if for some reason we did, and that's on the Milwaukee Bucks for handing us to him. But clearly our top five, top six, honestly, people or players, it's the best in the NBA. And I'm not the only one to have said that. They just make me excited because I feel it coming. It has to come. It has to come this year.
What's the one thing that could derail your team from making it to the finals?
Injuries. That's the only thing. And honestly, just ourselves. You know, the only team that can beat us is ourselves.
Well, I mean, I feel like health, obviously, like I always say in the past, like the best ability is availability. So obviously, if your team is healthy, to your point, you know, your top five, six, seven, top six players mm-hmm. are like solid. I think they're beyond that. We like that. Oh, you know, the only one that could beat us is ourselves type of thing. Only because I feel like they have pieces now where in the past they weren't sure how to overcome adversity. Mm. They didn't have like certain people to go to kind of navigate that. Mm-hmm. This year feels very, very different. The point guard position, I feel like it's rock solid. Obviously, the big man position is rock solid. And on top of that, you have Jalen and Jason, another year wiser, another year older, guys that have been in huge, huge games already. So they're not, you know, they're not shying away from the challenges. It's not like teams from years past. Like when you guys faced the Warriors in the finals, mm-hmm. right? Like you can kind of tell the Warriors kind of like big brothered the Celtics. This year feels really different. The one that, aside from injuries, that I have a slight concern for it. You can correct me if I'm wrong. The coaching.
Oh, okay. I figured you'd say that. He's learned, though. I think even just from the beginning of this year, like with his timeouts, he was criticized for not taking them in the proper time, especially in the fourth quarter. But I feel like recently he's even admitted to it, too, which is kind of rare for a coach to say, because I feel like a lot of coaches are very, I don't know, they're not as humble as him.
Mm.
Like they don't admit to their mistakes, but Joe does. Mm-hmm. And he said it before. Like there's still a lot of room for improvement. And, you know, we still have a few months until the playoffs. And hopefully with just more experience, he'll get to that level that we need him to get to.
What's your take on his mentality of basically be the most like 3-point shooting team, like the most takes, the most attempts per game? Because you guys take a lot of threes.
We do.
And you guys kind of live and die by the three.
We do.
Like
when they fall, I'm all for it. But I think there was a game recently where we shot like less than 20% and we still won the game. So I think when, obviously we're still going to shoot the same amount of volume in terms of threes, but just realize that when you're not making them, you also have to, you know, find other ways in scoring, AKA your twos and then you're, you know, driving in the paint.
What do I always say for Jason and Jalen?
Always drive. Hey, that's they've been it. Doing that. They have been.
And to your point that you made earlier, it really helps when if your 3-point shot isn't falling, you have a, how tall is Tingus?
7 foot something.
Yeah. That guy's a cheat code.
That's true. He is a cheat code. He is also a foul merchant. He is kind of, I'm not going to say he's Joel Embiid because Joel Embiid literally flops. But if he were to flop as hard as Joel Embiid, he would get the same amount of calls. Because he does get a lot of calls now. And mm-hmm. it's literally because he's getting hit. Obviously, he's like skinnier, taller. So like I feel like any sort of contact, it'll literally move him. And the refs see that, which is nice because I feel like we haven't had that in the past. Especially with Tatum. Tatum gets hit all the time. The refs don't call anything.
You know what Tatum does get hit with, though?
Tex.
Yeah.
BS. He goes, he claps. That's a tech. He goes like this with his hand. It's a tech.
That's wild,
he bounces the ball. It's a tech. He hangs on the rim for 0.5 seconds to prevent himself from injuring himself.
It's what did he do to the refs? Like, I don't understand.
I don't know. I have no idea.
We gotta dig deep into that. We gotta investigate because it is kind of sus.
I agree. It is.
It's pretty sus. So currently your team is number not just one. First place in the East.
Number one.
46-12, but they're number one in the league.
Mm-hmm.
The league. I say this every single year. Your team scares me the most out of the East. And like, I don't know. So I got to go to the Knicks Celtics game. It was at MSG. I do have to admit, the TD Garden seemed louder to me. than MSG. Granted, the Knicks were missing some key players. They kept it fairly competitive, but the one thing I did notice was the Celtics could not miss from three. So like what you said earlier, like when it's falling, like it's nonstop. Like it's a downpour for like 48 minutes. Of course, we come to the point in the podcast where I have to talk about my team. I just got to brag a little bit about my team. Since my team lost to your team in early February before the All-Star break, Miami is now on a 5-game win streak.
I guess that's impressive for you guys if, you know, you're...
What do you mean for you guys? What do you mean for you guys?
I don't know. The bar is so low for the Heat right now.
Oh. So. Man, I can't wait till the playoffs, bro. I can't wait for playoff Jimmy.
Can we please, please not face the Heat again? I am so tired of the Heat.
It's going to be scary this year because instead of playoff Jimmy, you're going to get playoff ball JJJ. Out boy.
Oh,
ball out boy. Actually, Triple J has been doing really well too. He's been popping off. But man, I just love our Ricky. He's so good. Before we move on to what I wanted to ask you next, I will say Miami's on a 5-game win streak, but I'm pretty sure it comes to an end tonight as they face the reigning defending champions.
There you go again. You always have such low hopes for your team.
It's the Nuggets.
Okay, so what? You have to be delusional as a fan.
I mean, like, I'm a realist. I gotta keep it real. I leave the delusion to Jimmy Butler. That's his forte.
Is he playing tonight?
Yeah, he's playing.
Okay, good.
This man like willed his team to the finals last year. Let's go back to the Boston Celtics. Let's get to aside from perhaps like Bill Simmons, you're probably the biggest Boston Celtics fan I know. But I wanted to get your take on this. Nat and I, at the beginning of every season, we kind of do like our early season awards, like who we predict will be coach of the year, rookie of the year, most improved player, all those things. But we're going to do it a little bit differently. I want to know first, who is your Celtic candidate for each of those categories? And then you could give me like your real like choice for the category. So, for example, we'll do coach of the year, Boston Celtics. Obviously, there's only one coach. So coach of the year for the Boston Celtics would be?
Joe Mazzulla. And he's also my pick just in general.
Oh, so for the actual coach of the year award, you have Joe.
Who else is better than Joe right now?
Eric Spoelstra.
What? What are you, top five, top six in the East?
We're in the East, but we also had the most like number of starting lineups in the league. Because of injury and suspension and whatever else.
See, suspension is because of your team. He doesn't have his team together.
It was one suspension. Anyway. Okay, so coach of the year, you have Joe Mazzulla for both. Let's move on to rookie of the year. If you had to pick a rookie of the year for the Boston Celtics, who would it be?
We only have one rookie right now, so it would be Jordan Walsh. He did play... default. Yeah, he plays really well in the G League, but it's crazy what the difference is in G League versus the NBA, because they could be popping off in the G League, you know, 30 points, whatever. They go to the NBA, they look lost. They can't shoot.
Nikola Jokic, Nikola Jovic from Miami, he was lighting up the G League. But he doesn't look lost. Like, he just comes in because it's a system that they're running, run by Queer Eric. So he fits the system. So he'll pop off from time to time. But,
They kind of need to play him because his players don't want to play.
What? No, they're injured. Anyway.
How many games has Jimmy Butler missed this season?
Okay, but just why did he miss those games?
Honestly, no. I have no idea.
No.
Why did he miss those games?
He had knee injuries, and then the most recent one he had, well, obviously the suspension, but prior to that, there was a personal matter that I think there was a death in the family, so he missed some time there. Yeah.
Sorry, Mr. Butler.
Okay. Let's move on. So that's Rookie of the Year. Oh, what about Rookie of the Year for the league? You can't say Jordan Walsh for this one.
Why not?
There's no way.
I say it's tough because
it's okay. Obviously... It's pronounced Jaime.
Junior. That wasn't the problem I was having.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's up. If Chet wasn't there and if Victor wasn't there, Jaime would be up there.
He would be up there.
But those are two crazy, like, I don't know. Those are like aliens. Like, you're never going to get that in the draft. Like, technically Chet was from 2 years ago, but he obviously had that injury. But we've both seen him, so I am Team Chet. For that reason that we both met him, right? Or no?
I wasn't there.
Oh,
I was there when I interviewed him.
Come see, that's what I meant. Oh, you're making me sound stupid.
You're right. Sorry. You're right. I did interview him, yes.
Okay, see, that's what I meant.
So, okay. Everyone knows I have Jaime Jaquez, not just because I'm a homer, but when you watch him in game, he does things that most rookies don't do and can't do. So that's why I have Jaime.
He does.
Most improved player for the Boston Celtics.
That was a little tough because with our roles for this year, I feel like a lot of people have had to take a step back. Mainly, honestly, like a starting lineup. But I don't know. I can't really say. I guess maybe Sam, even though Sam has always been like a shooter. Because I can't really say Pritchard, only because... Because
I would have said Pritchard, but what's your thought?
I feel like when Pritchard is on a roll, he's on a roll. But with this current system that we have, sometimes he doesn't go for the shots he usually takes, or he would have usually taken if he was playing with the scrubs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see him, he'll be, like, wide open for a three. And he won't take it. Like, he'll try to pass it to somebody, which is good. But sometimes I'm just like, just take it because we know you can make it. But I feel like there's like a slight hesitation sometimes in his shot selection. But, you know, overall, he still contributes a lot. But
he got decent minutes, too.
No, he does. Yeah, he's definitely our second, if not first, like bench guy.
And I've said it on this podcast before too. Like, he's got Heat culture written all over him. I'm just gonna put it out there.
But you think that about everybody?
I'm not everybody. Not everyone has Heat culture. Peyton Pritchard has Heat culture. What about most improved player for the league?
I'm not really sure because I don't pay attention to the rest of the NBA as much.
Mm-hmm.
But who would your pick be?
That's a great question because I don't think Matt and I did this one. Not at least that I don't recall. But as of right now, being after All-Star break, most improved player. I'm going to go Paolo Banchero. I feel like he's taking it to he's supposed to. That's kind of a cop-out answer.
Mm-hmm.
But like that's the one that stands out to me the most, especially among the young guys.
I feel like there hasn't been a person that has been in like most improved player talks unless I'm just not hearing about it. But
you can also put SGA in there. SGA is taking it to a whole nother level. I mean, that's 10 consecutive games of 30 plus points. I think
he was good last year. So
I feel like he's even better this year. It's tough.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a tough one.
Yeah. Because when I'm thinking of most improved player, I'm thinking, oh, this dude was a bum last year. And then this year, he is known now in the NBA.
Duncan Robinson?
Huh? Okay, who?
Maybe not.
He is like the one that downgraded. I don't know what the word for that is.
What? No, he's gotten better this year.
No, he hasn't. He was definitely better when he was scorching us, when he was part of the White Boys. No, you still have him, but...
No, yeah, he's tearing it up this year because Max Schuss left. Like, they've been utilizing him more, so he'll have nights where he pops off. What about sixth man for the Boston Celtics?
Well, our sixth man is technically Al, so I'll give it to Al. But sometimes usually it's Al.
Who would you want to give it to? Like, based off what you see, like, this person is more of our sixth man.
I think Al is our sixth man because I was gonna say Derek, but I'm like, no, Derek always starts. But technically, last year, he was our sixth man.
Right.
Or no, Malcolm. It was Malcolm last year, but
yeah, Malcolm.
Sorry, he had to go.
Yeah.
But Al, too. For sure. I did not expect him to be as good, even though everyone says that because of his age. But like, especially this year, because we had Kristaps. He still definitely contributes. Like, his defense, every time he comes on the floor, his defense is seen. He'll still give us those threes.
Yeah.
You know, get some offensive rebounds.
He does get offensive boards.
And he, you know, he has like a pretty good dunk once in a while.
He can still get up there for an old guy. What about, oh, you said you don't really watch, pay attention to the rest of the league.
Yeah.
Does anyone come to mind when you think of the league?
I haven't heard anyone really talk about a sixth man of the year either.
I'm trying to think.
Who is the Heat sixth man of the year?
Oh, for sure. Jaime.
But hasn't he started in a lot of games? Or no?
Not in a ton. Okay. Well, he's had to start, but that's because like we were injured.
That's true.
But like, he mainly comes off the bench, so mine would definitely be Jaime. He would win Rookie of the Year, Most Improved Player of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year. Well, he can't win Most Improved, but he would definitely have those. What about Defensive Player for the Boston Celtics?
Ooh, Derek. Hands down, Derek. I mean, Drew's up there too, but Derek is different, man.
Derek, I have him for my fantasy league where they do fantasy points. There was one, I think recently, he had like a low scoring game. It was like 4 rebounds. But then like what boosted his score was the assists and the blocks and steals.
Yeah, he is the league's point guard, I think, leading
guard.
The blocks or something. Yeah. Or just guard. League, okay.
Yeah. The NBA's top leading guard in blocks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, block leader. What about Defensive Player of the Year, like NBA wise?
I feel like they always give this to a big man, you know, besides obviously the Marcus Smart year. But again, I feel like there hasn't been anyone that stood out outside of the Celtics, in my opinion, that I've heard.
There's like Rudy Gobert talk, the usual.
I'm so tired of Rudy Gobert. He does not deserve that.
Sorry. Bam Adebayo.
Okay, fine. I guess Bam can have it.
Wow. Okay.
I'll give it to him just for you.
Oh, thank you.
I'll call up Adam right now.
Thank you. Hit him up. MVP so far for the Boston Celtics.
Jason Tatum, baby. Stephen A. Smith said so himself. That is my MVP.
You can actually technically put him for Most Improved Player too, right? Do you feel like he's taken a step up since last year?
I mean, stats-wise, I would say like points per game, no, because last year he was averaging like 30. But again, because of our system.
Yeah, the team's more balanced. He doesn't need to. Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure his assists and rebounds might have gone up. I haven't looked too much into it.
Also, when he wants to lock in defensively.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like he's up there. Yeah, he's stepped up.
I feel like our whole team, honestly, has been really good at that. And I'm very grateful because not a lot of teams have basically like an all five, all six.
Yeah.
All NBA defensive team.
Okay. We get it. Let's rub it in. Okay. MVP for the league. I'm assuming.
Jason Tatum.
Yeah. I had a feeling you were going to say that. Okay. All right. That's valid.
I mean, Jokic is cool too, but 3 times is too much. He don't even want it either. He don't even care. So let's not give it to him.
Talking about not caring. Before we kind of wrap up the podcast for today, talk to me. Did you watch the All-Star Weekend?
But not the actual game because it was super busy that day. But most of the other stuff the night before I did.
Okay, so let's talk about the dunk contest. My guy, Jaime Jaquez, was in it. Your guy, Jaylen Brown, was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Jaylen made it to the finals against Mac McClung.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about your overall take and feeling about Jaylen in the dunk contest, the things that people were saying after. Just give me your thoughts. Just vent to me.
First of all, Indiana, that crowd was whack. Why are you booing my guys? Not even just in the dunk contest. They did it. I also heard during All-Star game, but I think, you know, obviously they weren't the only players that were booed. But like, why are you booing at an all-star game? Not necessary, in my opinion. So that was that. Also, the commentating during the game was not that great either. It was hosted by TNT, and there was just a lot of negative comments going all around. And to everyone that was hitting on Jaylen Brown, you suck. Okay, to be fair, the judges were giving him really high scores. Like, in that first round, I wasn't expecting him to get a higher score, or like a score as high as he did. I think Jaime actually got a pretty low score, which I thought his was pretty good. I don't know. But in terms of everyone that was hating on like every dunk that Jaylen Brown did, y'all are really just haters. Because I understand, okay, the one where he dunked over Kai with the Jason Tatum lob, that's the one everyone was hating on. But I 100% believe it was just execution. Like, he obviously meant to do the whole, like, D-Brown tribute, but he just didn't do it in time. And the ball already went through, so he can't do it again. So that's what they had to score it on. And I feel like that was really the only, I don't know, dunk that people have been quoted lame. But I feel like all the other ones were fine. Like, and a lot of them are tributes, too. So there's meaning behind it.
So for that dunk in particular, like, it was obvious when he did it, because he did at the last second, the D. Brown thing. Like, he meant to do it initially.
Yeah, clearly.
And it came out later because, like, they showed, like, them practicing the dunks. Mm-hmm. He did it in practice where, you know, he did the D. Brown thing. It's just, I think execution. What people fail to realize and understand is this is a high competitive situation. You're in a dunk contest. You got millions of people watching you. There's so much pressure on you to perform. And your main objective is to get the ball through the net to make it go in. So obviously there's going to be moments of like lapse where like you're going to forget a move, like the D Brown thing. So like, I get it. I don't understand either. What, like, you know, all these people that were hating on it, like, okay, let's see you jump over someone.
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
And everyone on Twitter was basically saying that, oh, he was the worst NBA dunk contest contestant. And I'm like, no, he's not. There's literally people who have failed to do their dunk attempts. And
people are just hating.
Had to do either no dunks or they just dunked it regularly. And then there was also other people that were saying that, oh, he was ball hogging in the All-Star game. And I'm like, everyone ball hogs at one point. It's not even an actual game. It's just for entertainment purposes.
Also, maybe he really wanted to win.
Yeah. I don't know. He also scored like 36 or something.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, 36. In as much as I would like to defend Jaylen Brown for the dunk contest, I give him a lot of props for doing it because, you know, all these people can be hating on it. Where's all the major stars at?
Exactly.
Legacy. Where's Zion? Jimmy Butler. Oh, no, Jimmy don't dunk like that. Jimmy knows he don't dunk like that. you know, like Zion Williamson.
Let me see their King LeBron in the dunk contest.
He ain't never going to do it.
Exactly.
That's a whole nother take. I'm going to save that for when Nat is back because I heard some interesting takes on that. But I do have to say, even though I'm standing up for Jaylen Brown here, and it pains me to do that, I still had Mac McClung winning because
he deserved that, especially
They
give him a super low score on that first dunk he did, which I thought was probably his best dunk out of the whole competition.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they missed it or something because he got, what, like a 46 on that or something? I don't even know. Mm-hmm. It was low. But that was a 50.
Let's see. The other thing I wanted to bring up was, what do you think would make the All-Star game more competitive?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I think Tatum did bring up a point. I think he said it'd be cool if people would have, like, one-on-ones.
Mm.
Which would be kind of dope. Like, imagine if it was a Jason Tatum and Jimmy Butler one-on-one. Like, that'd be super dope. But I think also, like, from the NBA players' perspective on the All-Star weekend, like, it's basically, like, their winter break, you know? It's, yeah, like, they'd rather, honestly, just go on vacation or something. So they're not trying to go as hard, but...
I have one theory. It will never happen. It can never happen. And it makes me sad that it'll never happen. But it's a nice sentiment to think about. The only way the All-Star game would be competitive again, well, one of the only ways, is if Kobe Bryant was playing. Aww. He was the only guy who, like, really cared about That's the All-Star true. Game. So, yeah, we miss Kobe.
We do.
I think the game misses him. I think he would have a lot to say based off of this latest performance from All-Star game weekend. Before we go, I just want to get your last takes. Yes, tomorrow your Boston Celtics face the Mavericks. Who wins?
What kind of question is this? You know who my pick would be. The Boston Celtics over anybody.
What's the final score?
I'm going to say 126 to 114.
Okay. And who's the leading scorer?
I give it to Kristaps, actually.
Okay.
Just because it's against Luka. Oh,
revenge game. Yeah, revenge game. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, next time you're on, we'll revisit that. We'll talk about it.
Next time, it's going to be like 2 years from now or something.
No.
The next time Nat goes on vacation.
No. No, we'll get you on here more anyway. Don't worry. All right. Anything you want to say before we go?
To everyone that keeps calling Shai Tyrese Haliburton a young player and not considering Jason Tatum a young player when he's 25. Shai is 25. Tyrese just turned 24. I don't understand why they're doing that.
Well, because Tatum is an old man in, like, NBA years. I mean, the man's he's played, like, it's been over 100 playoff games for him.
Yeah. And is that not an impressive thing?
That's a super impressive thing. But that's why he's an old man in terms of, like, NBA.
But why do people not consider that? Like, they're using that against him instead of to his benefit, which makes zero sense.
Yeah, those are people who don't know basketball. It's all about the IQ and the experience.
Yeah, I need to have a talk with him.
Yeah. Don't worry, you guys will be fine. Like I said, your team scares me the most. All right, so we'll review this the next time you're on the podcast. We'll see how close you were to being right. But until then, everyone, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.